Welcome back, Star Wars fans. Welcome back, Rule of the Galaxy fans. It's Joe. I've got part of my regular crew here with me tonight. We're sitting here and starting Rule of the Galaxy Chapter 31. So 31 is a good number to hit. We're going to keep adding these numbers up. It'll be to 100 before you know it, and we'll be just blowing people away. But tonight we're going to do a little regular Rule of the Galaxy for half the show. And the other half of the show will be our Beskar Babble, where we'll be speaking about Chapter 10 of The Mandalorian. Hard to fit in an extra show on Mandalorian this week, but we'll start trying to do that in the future once we get some other things knocked out. For those of you just joining or learning about us, again, you can always follow us at Rule the Galaxy SW on Twitter. You can email us at rulethegalaxysw@gmail.com. And about once a week, we come out with a Rule the Galaxy show. But we've also got some other shows. Again, I mentioned earlier, we have Beskar Babble for The Mandalorian. We have The Fulcrum Files, which we recorded earlier this week. Great. We're starting in season by season with Rebels, Star Wars Rebels. And then we have Lothal Library, which is all about books and all about novels. And we're finishing up here very soon part 3 of the Darth Bane trilogy. And so we'll have that done probably next week. I'm toying with the idea, and I've got Brent and Alfie here. I'll introduce them here in a minute. I'll let you guys give me your thoughts, but I'm toying with the idea because I love my alliteration so much of Memos from Mortis for Clone Wars. What do we think about that? I'll let you talk about it. We'll go first. We'll start with Alfie Molinaro. Alfie, great to see you. How you doing? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I like that. I'm doing good tonight. I love the Mortis arc. So, yeah, it ties into what I like. I like that weird Filoni, Clone Wars, Rebels storylines.
Good. Anything else going on new or different? Are you taking off for vacation this week, Alfie?
Yes, we're supposed to leave Friday for Destin, Florida.
Florida. Gotcha. Always a good place to go. I just came back, as you know, from Florida, and it was fantastic. So I hope you get to enjoy your trip. Hope you don't run into hurricanes or tornadoes like I'm seeing right now. So you'll have clear weather when you get down there.
Yeah, this will be our first trip to Destin. We usually go to Panama, but we're trying something different this time.
Good. Everybody deserves a vacation. Hey, we've got our Legions pal, Brent Dykman, with us here tonight. Brent, how are you, sir?
I am doing wonderful. And I'm going to be on the, I wouldn't say the opposite side of you on the Mortis, Memos from Mortis. I like the alliteration of it. I'm not into the weird. That's not quite into my, I like Filoni, and Filoni we trust, right? I'm all about that. But the Mortis arc and then some of the other stuff that he throws into the Rebels, it sounds like a cool, I don't know what else you could throw in there for the Clone Wars for the alliteration, but yeah. It's a bit out there. The Mortis was a bit out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a crack staff here. We're actually compiling a top 10 list of arcs right now for Clone Wars. And I think between the 8 of us, we will put together a top 10 arcs, which is probably three or four episodes per arc. So, you know, we're looking at 30 or 40 of the Clone Wars episodes to kind of digest and do a roundtable on. And I think it would be good. Obviously, I think we might do half of season 7 just by itself. I don't know, but yeah. That one right there was great. But and speaking of
the better arcs,
trust, yeah. What's that?
I just said that was one of the better. The season 7 had the Bad Batch.
Yes.
And then it had the Battle of Mandalore with Ahsoka fighting Maul, which is fantastic as well. So
it certainly was. And then we have the Martez sisters, which we can all discuss when we get to Clone Wars, what we think about the Martez sisters. Some, I guess, good background, but we'll talk about that and save it for a later day. But looking at some of the things you brought up, in Filoni We Trust, I think, you know, we have our Rule of the Galaxy shirts that we've already got for ourselves. I think we might be making some In Filoni We Trust shirts. And you know what? We might make just a Count Dooku shirt just with the curved hilt of his lightsaber, just the logo of that right across.
I like that.
That would be fantastic.
And we
know you have to give your brother one right off the bat because he, I think he was the loudest anti-Dooku guy.
He was.
Really, you don't have, like, that would be a fantastic shirt, though. That curved lightsaber and that just it, that would be fantastic.
I'm thinking about doing that. I'm obviously not going to do his ship. We're not going to put his ship on there. But I was talking to my cousin Alfie, and he...
Underwear, though. I mean, that might go on the... You could probably put that on underwear because it's about as good as it was.
We might look at that. We might look at that. But I was talking to my cousin, Marley, the one who I spoke about earlier in the week, who had the car accident. He is presently, I gave him my iPad. He's presently devouring through Count Dooku Jedi Lost as one of his things to read and listen to while he's down for the count. So hopefully he's enjoying that one. But hey, we had some news items this week. So before we get to Beskar Babble, I wanted to get your thoughts on some news items I saw. I'll just hit them and let you guys talk. First of all, we see that there's a possibility. We already know that Boba Fett, I guess, showed up at the end of Mandalorian Chapter 9. But we have the possibility of a Boba Fett series on its own. And they're mentioning that it might start filming soon. And obviously there was some new Boba Fett licensing that happened recently. So Alfie or Brent, any thoughts on a possible Boba Fett series? Alfie, go ahead.
Well, that seems like an obvious choice. And it, from what the production of Rogue One, you know, this series has been in development twice. And so you would think that most of the pre-production, a lot of artwork, models, yeah, things like that are already done.
No, I think you're right. I think you're looking
at it. A little bit of casting and, you know, bam, you got a show.
I think we're in agreement, right? That Boba Fett and Obi-Wan were both thought to be movies originally.
Right.
And what an easier way to make them onto Disney Plus than, right, just take the movie scripts and plots and storylines you talk about, expand on them, and make them a 4 or 8, you know, show series on Disney Plus.
Well,
go ahead, Brent.
I was gonna say, so I was thinking that this Mandalorian was actually a spin from what the Boba Fett was supposed to be without going in and reading it, because I know you guys have read it so much, because I've been a periphery fan for the most part of the time. But I heard that there was, like, in the first release, once Disney came out, they came out with, like, Rogue One, they said they're going to do a Boba Fett movie. Mm-hmm. And then they said they're going to put that on hiatus, and then they came out with this Mandalorian. So I was like, well, okay, this is what the story turned into. So they didn't want to do Boba Fett, but this is what the story turned into. So that's what I always thought. So, okay, let's see what the Boba Fett and see how it messes. Alfie, what were you going to?
Yeah, go ahead, Alf.
Okay, so as far as I know, and this is just from reading different sources, the Fett movie was far enough along that there was a sizzle reel that was going to be at the celebration a few years ago. But the director for the Fantastic Four reboot was in line to direct that. They dropped the movie because of him.
Was that the Shia LaBeouf one that just came out, I want to say, within the last 4 years or so? The younger Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it Josh Trank? Josh Trank was the director?
Yeah, Josh Trank. I was trying to be nice here. So that got shelved the first time, and like I said, there was a lot of talk that they had already had enough, that there was going to be that, you know, if you think back to Rogue One, where they had the trailer from pre-production art that kind of gave you a sense of what the movie was going to be, then it came back again and yes, morphed into the Mandalorian.
Okay. I'm all for it. Boba Fett, there's enough Boba Fett fans out there. I think it can please everybody, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, we've all talked about it. You know, he didn't have the most screen time in the original trilogy, but people love him. So, and Alfie's got a tattoo of his logo right there on his arm. So I think that will fly. So Alfie, if you would lead in on this story here, the new Mando Trooper helmet that was on the leaked card, you sent it over to us. It looked like a Mando chrome stormtrooper helmet. What was that all about?
Well, that's coming from, there's a iPhone app that's a Topps trading card kind of, it's not really a game. You basically just open up packs every day and collect cards, and then you can trade them with different people, you know, over the interweb or what have you. And I've seen two or three different leaks of those cards. And yeah, one of them is a really odd looking trooper, but kind of chromed out. So is it, you know, a super commando or what have you? You know, is this going to be the answer to you? Who knows? You know, it's just a drawing, you know.
But it's out there. Does it have much explanation with it at all, though, right?
It doesn't have much explanation. I did see a second one that popped up today, and I never had time to grab it and send it out. But it looks very Mandalorian-ish. Kind of the armor over the jumpsuit like Boba Fett wore.
Okay.
So, you know, but who knows? It could just be a tank driver or something. You know, I don't know.
But right, so like a Captain Phasma type helmet, but not quite as chromed out and like more Mandalorian chromed out.
Yeah,
because I didn't actually look at the picture, so I know, like, so
yeah. And it really looks, I'm not going to get into what it looks like to me, because that's going way too far down the rabbit hole here. But
okay,
yeah, it kind of looks like the tank troopers from Rogue One.
Okay.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that one.
And then there was another one that came out yesterday that's a really odd Star Destroyer kind of looking ship.
I saw that. It had like a separation down the middle, kind of like what they had in Clone Wars, right?
Right, yeah. Kind of like the Falcon, even, if you were to make the Falcon into a giant Star Destroyer.
Like the mandibles up front?
Yeah.
Okay. That might be the second time we say mandibles tonight. So just a little heads up on that. So
can we make three?
Okay. So, you know, I wish Mass was here tonight, because this is a topic that I think we were all kind of interacting on. Star Wars, you know, with the Fett idea, you know, this is just something funny I wrote back, but wrote down, because, you know, with the Fett idea, you know, Star Wars keeps bringing back people who fall down
pits.
Dead
people. Yeah. Dead people. Yeah, I saw
Maul,
that story.
Down a pit. Palpatine, down a pit. Fett, down a pit. And they're all either in a show or in a movie. So just crazy. Just crazy stuff. Mass, we're thinking of you. So, Alfie, go ahead.
Yeah, the whole pit thing. Did you ever catch the Robot Chicken Star Wars specials? Where it shows the janitor cleaning up everybody who falls down a pit in a Star Wars movie.
It's been a long time since I've seen them, but yeah. Well, I mean, that would be a job in itself, just keeping track of the bodies that come down the pit.
So has anybody else fallen down a pit? I think there's more, though, right? Because Ben Solo fell down a pit?
Well, Palpatine threw him down a pit.
But he climbed back up because they had
it was a pretty long fall.
But he climbed his way back up because they had the Romeo and Juliet moment.
Right.
Hey, Han Solo went down a pit.
He did, and then he came back as a Force ghost, or not necessarily a Force ghost, but he came back as a figment of the imagination.
There you go. See, even they brought him back in a certain way.
If you watch Rogue One and really pay attention, you got to look this character up first, because I think of this character every time Mass goes into this discussion. When they're in Jedha and the tank is going down the street, and there's kind of a dramatic little shot there of all the Imperials marching, there is a guy who has no head. And it ties into why the doctor and the walrus guy are on the planet. Yeah. And he was one of his experiments that he actually removed his head. I know, you can read all about it. You know, this is the actual story from the movie.
You're talking about the guy who has death sentences on 12 systems?
Yes.
He is in Rogue One.
Yes, he's in Rogue One. And there's a guy in the background during that scene that has no head.
Yeah, I don't. I need to go back and rewatch everything. Obviously, there's so many things I miss. It's amazing. So.
And I never would have picked it out of the movie, but you can clearly see him in the trailer, and it kind of became one of those Star Wars internet things of who is this guy, until it was finally explained that, oh yeah, he does have this little backstory.
And I'm just gonna go on my kick here, I'm gonna guess where was it explained at?
By the director.
In a book somewhere. Was it in a book?
I would imagine it was probably on the back of a action figure card, something like that.
It might have been there too. I was assuming that it was in like the novelization or something like that. That it was something else that I would have to read.
Well,
trying to make me smarter. I like this.
I'm sorry, Brent. I'm sorry. Star Wars is a very deep thing. So I have to ask you guys this. There's all kinds of things on the internet the last few days that George Lucas had a different storyline after Return of the Jedi. Darth Maul and I believe Darth Talon were going to be the baddies of the sequel trilogy. Leia was going to turn out to be the chosen one. Luke was going to bring back whoever survived Order 66 to help with this. I'm at a point where, and I said it recently, actually I said it to T-Bob when we were talking about The Last Jedi, Star Wars is what Star Wars is. I mean, everybody rehashing all this, what could have been, what should have been, it's great fodder, and I like that there's cool little things to think about, but I'm not going to sit here and bang my head against the wall because we didn't make those Star Wars movies. What were you guys' thoughts about that storyline, and did it really make you go, oh man, if they would have done this or done that? At this point, I'm just ready to go into the next big thing. So any thoughts from you guys on that storyline?
Yeah, I'm with you. He had his chance and he sold it off. So that story no longer exists. It could have been. And like I said to you, when we're talking about this in the chat, didn't it just sound like a summary of 30 years of the expanded universe?
It did.
I mean, it wasn't anything really like groundbreaking or anything. All that stuff was already written and it already happened.
Right. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, let's just, but it's filler, right? So when there's, in the absence of news, people find things to make news. So it's filler. And like you said, it's fodder. But as far as me investing time and energy and care, I'm going to invest that in stuff that's already been made. Yep. And hope that whatever's being developed is going to be on the level of what I've seen and what I like, where it's at. Like, obviously there's hits and misses, but everything that I've seen recently, I mean, I feel like the Mando is solid. I feel like, I feel like the sequel trilogy has had their good parts. I mean, you have Rogue One. That was solid. I feel like Force Awakens was solid.
Yep.
So I'd rather talk about the things that have been made than talk about things that either have been missed or things that should be made. I mean, it'd be awesome to speculate like where Mando's going. It's awesome to speculate maybe season 3, season 4. I've heard that that's where they want to stop it at.
Yep.
But like, it'd be cool to have those speculations. And it's also cool to see all those people that buy into those Reddit storylines be proved wrong and then have a cow because they were wrong.
I mean, I agree. It's fun. I mean, Alfie and I were talking a lot today about books we grew up on that are no longer canon or just little side kid kind of things. And it's fun to talk about, but I'm not going to waste my time and like really put much effort into these kind of things with Lucas. I mean, Alfie's right. He could have made those if he wanted to, but he took the $4 billion and ran, and who blames him? If I could get $4 billion from somebody for something I did, I'd probably run with it too. So.
And it's not like he sold it off to somebody that couldn't take care of it, right?
Right.
I know that there's a lot of people out there that want to bash on who would take care of it, but I don't know of any other corporation established that could take care of it the way that the Disney Corporation could take care of it. I know, like I said, I know that there are people that will say that the Disney's ruined it and all yada yada yada, but I don't know of any other film franchise or film oriented company that could do with it what Lucas wanted to do with it.
100% agree. 100% agree. And I think that's why he planted his roots back with Star Tours back, you know, 25, whatever, 30 years ago when he did that. So I agree. Good. I think we're all on the same page on that. A couple different items, the last couple items here to hit. One, as we've talked, I'm not big into the comics. I really pay attention to the comics by what people post on Twitter and things like that. But I thought it was interesting that Darth Vader, after The Empire Strikes Back in recent comics, because they're following that line with Marvel, he now has a new agent. Her name is Elian Elion Zara. She was Tarkin's former protege, and she hates Leia because Leia was involved with everything that destroyed the Death Star. And, you know, ever since Tarkin's death, she's hated that. And she said Leia's going to pay for their terrorism and all that kind of stuff. But I guess she's kind of a kick-ass, you know, BA in this comic. I have not read anything about it. Have you guys heard? I know Alfie and I were talking about a person that was Tarkin's right-hand gal back in the Expanded Universe, but this is a totally different character. So, Alfie, any thoughts on Elion Zara?
Well, after, I checked that stuff out today, and man, I'm going to have to go back and find this and start over at issue number one, because this Darth Vader comic just seems really out there and really real kick ass. But yeah, like we were talking about today, it is kind of confusing. And then just going back to what we talked about before, that character had a different name in a book series.
Yes.
That we read when we were kids. So is it the same person? No, it's a completely different person. So that's where I get kind of confused in this stuff. They keep getting influenced by old characters and changing them just a little bit. And it's kind of hard to keep track of what is canon and what's not canon. And
what was their
story before? What's their story now?
That's why it's so good to be Brent. He doesn't have to worry about all that.
And even though I'm reading stories that are considered to be part of the expanded universe, I'm looking at them as just stories. Yeah. But I'm also looking at them like, okay, so this was written at this time and it was influenced by this movie. And I can see how, like, as I'm listening to it, I'm trying to make the connections as to it's just a story, but I can see how it's influencing people's opinions of X, Y, and Z character. But I'm also seeing that, like, when I read the Darth Bane, I was like, okay, so the Darth Bane felt like it was written after the prequels, and I feel like it was influenced by the prequels. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was just listening to the story, reading the story, you can kind of figure out in the timeline, yes, it's a story. Yes, it's a great story. Darth Bane, like, I devoured those books through Audible in three books in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was legit like a week and a half. But like now I'm on the original Thawne trilogy and it's been about a month and I'm just now starting the third book. It's a little bit longer to get through it. And it's a different part of my day, but the Bane trilogy sucked me in. Yeah. Yes. I know that it's not considered to be canon. Yes. I know but it's just a story. And it's cool for me to try to think in, like, cause I'm analytical in that way, is who influenced what, where did it come from? What's it similar to in the movie world that I'm connected to? So I'm not worried about all the other connections and is it canon, is it not canon, is this character, it's like, okay, this is the story and it's just a story. It's kind of like Hansel and Gretel. It's kind of like the Grimm brothers fairy tales. They're just fairy tales at this point, right? But at one point they were written for a purpose. They had more meaning to them. They're like Gulliver's Travels was their allegories of government and different types of government that are written into it, but now it's just a story.
Nope. So. Agreed. Alfie.
Well, that's what makes it hard in having these discussions about things like, say, a movie in particular, because that stuff is no longer canon. But if we're talking Revenge of the Sith, there was a ton of comics and books written at the time that filled in plot holes. So if we're having a discussion and then you say, well, that's not canon anymore, so that doesn't matter, then that just makes all those, what we're talking about, unanswerable.
It would be good if they went back and cherry picked. I mean, let's face it. If they went back and cherry picked and said, hey, this doesn't mess with the timeline that we've set up, you know, now with Disney. You know, I think we all agree Darth Bane would be one of the first things. It's like, this doesn't affect anything. Let's throw it in because it works and everybody likes his character. But yeah, it does make it tough. It does make it difficult to go back and forth and bounce that around. But I think, would you guys agree that right now Disney's at a point where they're not going to release something in a novel or in a comic that's going to be so huge that it overshadows a movie, right? I mean, or Disney Plus, I apologize. They're going to put their big things, their big momentous happenings in Star Wars, either on Disney Plus or in a movie. The books, the comics, they're going to fill. They're going to have things where, like, you can miss them and you're not going to miss the movie. You're still going to understand that.
Yeah, I think I see them as filler. I see them as background. I see them as one-offs, I guess. They're not a continuation of the story is the way that I look at it. But that's also because I don't read them and I'm not a big book or comic guy. So I want them to remain fillers and I want them to remain insignificant. However, I say that, but we also know what's the High Republic.
It's coming out, yep.
But we're talking about it. It hasn't necessarily been released yet and da-da-da-da-da. But we can anticipate what they're doing. Comic is kind of this one-off, and this is a separate, like, they're just fillers that you don't necessarily have to know them, but they're kind of these cool stories that you didn't know about that Vader was doing when this was going on. And so I want them to remain the side shows, so I don't have to get into them. But I feel like with the High Republic, because of the way that they're organizing the campaign, I feel like I want them to make a movie out of it, and I feel like I might have to know the books to get into that.
Yeah, the High Republic seems like it's going to kind of mirror the Shadows of the Empire.
Yes.
If you remember that. You know, I mean, that was a video game, comic books, novels, toys, the whole thing. And it told this a really big story between Empire and Return of the Jedi.
I still have all those things. And man, it's hard for me to not want to buy into those still being canon. But, you know, it is what it is. There's some of my favorite things happened during that time frame. So we'll move on to future things here. One last future story before we get into Beskar Babel on Chapter 10 of The Mandalorian. Leslie Headland, she is going to be writing, directing everything. The new female-centric show is going to be on Disney Plus. She's saying that it's going to be in an unknown timeline and unknown place. So places and times we're not familiar with in Star Wars. Some of the things that I read the article, I posted on Twitter today, some of the things that really stood out to me is she says to get into Star Wars, it's great to have your own ideas. It's great, but you have to know where you are. You have to understand that it's like being a part of a religion, she said. But when you walk into the Cathedral of Notre Dame, you still have to know I'm not bigger than the Cathedral of Notre Dame. It's still this massive presence here, right? And she's like, it's not bigger than you. And she was actually putting some slight jabs at a person that we've talked about in the past who maybe thought they were a little bit bigger than the storyline of overall Star Wars. But I love it that she's into Timothy Zahn's books. That's what one of the things that drew her back in. She watched the prequels in her 20s. She loves the Clone Wars. She loves what Filoni does. I feel like if she's that into it, that much into the lore and loved all that stuff growing up, I even though it's going to be a female-centric show, which, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to get female fans to watch it or if they're like, everybody, we want you to like this female-centric show. I have a feeling from what she said so far, I might like it. I have a feeling there's some good things in this. Any thoughts on Leslie Headland and where she's going with this new series that's going to be on Disney Plus? I'm seeing a lot of blank faces. Alfie.
All right. I'll jump on the hand grenade. yeah, I think the jabs you're talking about were pretty obvious who she was referring to. And personally, I think that was one of that movie's biggest issues to me. But, you know, it's Star Wars, man. You know, you can, like, I keep posting the same meme about the Gunk Droid movie. You make it, I'm going to watch it probably 10 times.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm great with Star Wars getting new directors, new writers, people who love the backstory and, like I said, the lore of Star Wars. And if she likes it that much, I'm all for it. Brent's a big believer in let's go where we haven't been before. Let's go into something new. And I really feel like that's the direction she's going to go with it. So, Brent, any thoughts? Do you have any feedback on Leslie Headland and the Disney Plus show?
one, like I getting into the names of the directors and the writers and all that stuff is not something that is part of my repertoire, but I think I did see a quote somewhere where they asked her to rank what her favorite Star Wars movie was, and she's like, well, I can't really do that because they're Star Wars, something like that. Like it's kind of the same kind of thing that we talk about here, right? The way that she said it made it sound like she is a fan first.
Yes.
And I feel like that is what you need. You need to have someone in there that is a fan of the world first. And like, I think what you said you need to know where you're at. You need to know the place and time, but you have to understand that you're a part of the world is bigger and you are a part of that world. So being a fan first helps you build a believable world around you, helps you build believable scenery, helps you build believable characters, helps you build a believable timeline in the Star Wars world. So just hearing her say that makes me think that there is that I'm a fan first aspect that could build into something that it would be pretty good. Not to say that she's going to fall on her face or whatever. Why not have another female lead? I mean, I think one of the things I think that worked really well was Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would like to have seen more. I would like to see more maybe development, but I think Rey was really good in those sequel movies.
Well, whether you liked Rey or not, Alfie, whether you liked Rey or not, I think we can all agree Princess Leia tore up in the original trilogy. Jyn Erso was cool in Rogue One. Ahsoka Tano, Sabine, Hera, Padme, yeah, and I think in some other things more than in the prequels. There's been a ton of great female characters. Asajj Ventress, one of my very favorite characters. So if it's going to be a female-centric show, I think we've got a lot of background where we can make it successful if that's the case. So, Alfie, any last comments before we head over to Beskar Babel?
No. Yeah, I don't have a problem with another, you know, female-led show. As long as it's good. You know, I thought Jyn Erso as a lead in Rogue One was great.
Yep. You know,
I the thing that always kind of tickles me about all this is whenever I hear all this talk, what happened about with Princess Leia? I mean, wasn't she like a really strong female character?
She was.
That's kind of the basis of Star Wars, you know, going back to the very beginning. So I don't see this big emphasis on having to make something. Just make it Star Wars.
Make it
natural.
No, I get you. I mean, don't shove something down people's throats. Just make it a good story that people want to follow, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who the lead is if you make it a good story. It could be a female lead, right? As long as it is a good story.
Doesn't matter to me 100% who it is. As long as it's a good story.
It could be a Wookiee, as long as it's a good story.
And make them have an actual arc in the story.
There we go. We will. I think Disney Plus has seen that with The Mandalorian, how you can make an arc, and we've seen already what's going on with that. So we'll skip right over to this week's episode of a little side episode of Beskar Babel, Chapter 10 of The Mandalorian, The Passenger. I've heard lots of people ups, downs, in between. I'll just start in right now and saying that I really liked the episode. There were little things in there that stood out to me. I think it's good to have stories where it doesn't have to be, I always say the Star Wars doesn't have to be a world destroying, you know, bomb or tool. It could be a story about a story, like a people, you know. It could be about just a trip. It can be about something where it's not, oh, we're at war and we're going to blow up the galaxy. No, it can just be, hey, we got to get from point A to point B. How do we get there? So I liked it. And one of the things, and I'm going to call this week's episode of Beskar Babel, no egg excuses. And the reason is I am not, this story of these eggs, people getting ticked off about these eggs. My gosh, it's Star Wars. They're eggs. I mean, it's Baby Yoda. Come on, just move on. So
okay, so I want to know the question of the week. The question of the week: is he protecting the eggs, or did he eat the eggs? I want to know what you guys think on that.
See, Alfie was bringing up a good point. Like he said, it's been a long time since I've been around a toddler, and they eat all the time. So for a lot of people,
all the time,
they just eat.
You do have a Wookiee. You do have a Wookiee toddler right now. So
yeah, my theory.
I can attest to that.
My theory was, instead of protecting them, my theory was he sensed like evil in them, and he was getting rid of them. He wanted evil. To kill. He wanted to evil kill off that species. Eggs. It was bad.
There was nothing evil about Frog Lady. She took Zero to turn him into so he could talk to Mando. There was nothing evil about Frog Lady.
All I'm saying is the people getting upset over him eating them, it's an egg. I mean, I have eggs all the time, scrambled eggs, you know. I mean, but that was just one of my things from this. When I watched the show, I was like, oh, that was a lot of fun. And then the day later, I got on Twitter and all these people were, can you believe what Baby Yoda was doing? Yeah, I was like, guys, it's a show. It's relaxed. Hey.
So you think that he ate him. Okay, so Alfie, what was like, so did Baby Yoda eat him? I'm guessing that was a yes, that it was not a protective.
Yeah, no, I got a toddler, you know, she'll be 2 in January and she eats everything. Doesn't matter. Last night she was eating green peppers and a banana at the same time. Why? I don't know.
She's a Wookiee.
So if he was protecting the eggs, I was protecting a double cheeseburger last night.
So you're saying it's protection.
Oh, no, not at all. Like, I think Yoda was eating them like that. And so another question. And so I know you like, I'm jumping ahead, but I was going to get to the meat of the argument. When she was in the pond, I thought she was making more eggs and I just tried to rewatch it, but I didn't get quite to that part of the show. So when she disappeared with the eggs and she was in the warm pond, I thought she got in the pond to pop out. But were they all the ones that were left in there and she just dumped them out to swim around with them?
Alfie, what are your thoughts?
Right before that, when they were still in the hull of the Razor Crest, you can see, and you know, we don't really speak Star Wars language, so we don't know what her little readout on her egg carton is saying, but she looked at it, gave like a concerned kind of sound, then put a blanket around it. Then the next scene, she's in the warm spring. So I just assume she put them in there to warm them back up.
Okay. Which makes sense. But I, for some reason, because I just assumed that Baby Yoda ate all of them. Because, like, he looked down on them and he's like, how many have you had? And then he burps. So I thought Baby Yoda ate all of them. And I thought Frog Lady was just popping a few more.
No, there
were
still lots of eggs in that container when he said that.
Okay.
Well, so we'll just get right to the meat of this thing. First of all, it starts off right at the end of chapter 9. He runs into the bounty hunters / scavengers who set up a trap to get him and the child. I thought the jetpack scene was fabulous. For people who are upset about the eggs, he shot a guy off into space and let him fall to the ground to his death, basically. I thought that was great. We get to see Polymoto, I always forget how to say her name.
Dr. Mandible.
With Dr. Mandible, that's right. So Dr. Mandible, Brent, you're not into the books, but Alfie, did he remind you of the Killix from the EU?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Wasn't there one in the cantina?
I feel like there was one in the original A New Hope. It wouldn't surprise me that there was, because they've brought back a lot of those like ancillary people that show up in those pan scenes and bring them in as characters. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was one in A New Hope. I think there was too. Alfie, I'm with you on the thinking there was one, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was that, because that's what they do.
Nope. I'm tending to agree with the both of you. And then I love when they get to Pelimoto's place and they cook the meat with a pod racer engine. How great is that? Made me feel like I was back at Galaxy's Edge.
And did you see how Baby Yoda was staring at it? Baby Yoda was hungry. Like, the whole episode was about how hungry Baby Yoda was.
They're hungry all the time.
But, like, he was, like, it was almost like you could see the drool coming off of his mouth as that meat was being cooked.
I mean, look, this wasn't an overarching story where we're like, wow, this changes everything. But I think it was good to have these stories. you know, the little bits of the kind of the joking where she said, oh, I trust her with my life. When did you meet her? 10 minutes ago. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it's silly, but it's kind of fun. I think it was good to see simple things as Mandalorian saying, hey, it's time to hit the sheets, you know, and go to, you know, take a nap. And they're both in there to take a nap until the X-Wings show up. Let's get into the X-Wing talk. The X-Wings show up and we've got Trapper Wolf and Captain Carson, I believe. What did you guys think about the X-Wings showing up and how the New Republic is treating ships like the Mandalorian? Go ahead, Alf.
Going back to Brent's point, as soon as the X-Wing showed up, it's like you could just hear the hearts breaking on Reddit.
Yes.
It's not Luke. It's just two random X-Wing pilots, you know, in the Outer Rim who spend all day, you know, checking driver's license.
Right. They were just patrolling and checking driver's license. That's a great
way. Have a nice day.
And then they found out when they ran his plates that maybe there's a little bit more to this. This was used in some sort of heist on us.
No, I agree. I thought that was great. And you're right. It's not Luke. It's not whatever. It's just two guys, basically chips of Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
California Highway Patrol.
That's so funny.
Which I think, obviously, Dave Filoni was Trapper Wolf. That Captain Carson, I think somebody said he's like a Canadian comedian or a Canadian actor that's very, very famous up there. I don't know. To all use in the Great White North, you know, whatever. You know, almost hockey.
No offense.
That's right. So
thanks again, for Tim Hortons.
That's right. Go get some coffee and donuts. So he needs a beacon. And one of the things that he would, you know, he's talking to him, said, send us a ping. I thought that was kind of odd how it was almost like submarine kind of stuff. It was police. It was submarine. It was military. That interaction there, was it odd to you? Or do you think that's how it would be if they showed up and found a ship like that?
I mean, since that happens every day in my life that there's spaceships flying around and X-Wings are, hey, let's send me a ping for your information. I don't know. Like, I honestly didn't even read too much into it. It was just, okay, this is what they were doing. Like, I didn't even think about it in too much detail.
Alfie, was it like showing that the New Republic is starting to come in and be like the Empire and show too much, you know, want to check up on everything? What do you think about that?
No, not so much, but that is in dealing with what I do with networking and machines talking to each other. It didn't seem out of place because we do that a lot.
Okay.
But I like your take on the Empire, like the New Republic coming in and almost replacing the Empire on that. Like, I feel like the New Republic is supposed to be so much nicer and so much lighter, but
yeah.
And I didn't even think about it until you just mentioned it, Joe, but they did kind of come across as more like militaristic police-ish. And I mean, that's what they were supposed to do, but yeah. like you're thinking that the New Republic is going to be something that is better, and it almost seems like it's the same. It's just replacing.
But at the same time, they also kept asking him not to do this.
Yeah.
Just stop. Hey, just follow us to the station. We'll get it settled. You know, there's no reason for any hostility. No reason for you to run. He just chose to. He knew, you know, and I love that scene too where they switch to the different comms channel.
Yes.
And then you see the foils open up and you're like, oh yeah, here we go. This is going to be...
Yeah, and he says, "Oh, we got a runner."
And
there was a good chase scene. I mean, what I'm really impressed about with The Mandalorian is, you think of TV shows, you don't think of this high quality of kind of visual effects. You know, it feels like you're in a Star Wars movie, but you're watching it on the small screen. You know, you're not. It's not this big production that you would think of with a large movie scale. It's just a TV show. So it's kind of cool because I don't feel like it's like, you know, they're not hanging on a string. It's not 1980s and 70s kind of nickel and dime sci-fi, right? They're really doing stuff to make it look realistic.
That chase through the clouds was, you know, I mean, that was just amazing to look at.
Right.
Considering, like you said, this is just TV. You know, we're what, a hundredth of the budget of a movie?
I mean, hey, I've said it 100 times on here, but that volume has done. I'm a technology guy, and that thing amazes me. just that behind the scenes episode for that they did on the gallery talking about the volume and just what they can do with it. Because one, video game technology has gotten to a point where I've been playing a video game before my wife's walked in and she thought I was watching television. Back when we were in the middle of lockdown, they were doing Formula One races on virtually, but so they had the real drivers in the virtual cars. Wow. And I was watching it for about 15 minutes and my wife thought I was actually watching a race. And she's like, they're actually racing. I was like, no, that's a video game. And it took her about another 2 or 3 minutes to look at it and figure out, oh yeah, that really is a video game. So the quality of the video games have gotten so good. And that's what they're using for the engine to drive the volume. I'm just telling you, like, I know I say it all the time, but that thing blows me away with its quality. And I feel, and I've said it before too, I think that is the future of television. That is the future of these types of limited run shows. And I think you'll start seeing them more and more on like HBO series. And you might even start seeing it in like ABC and CBS type shows as well. Like it's going to change the way that, and Star Wars has a way of doing that.
It always Star Wars, does.
Historically has been the change like the leader of visual effects and the way visual effects are run.
Nope.
So
go ahead, Alfie.
I hate to do this, but jumping back an episode, not just the visual effects, but the practical effects on this show, the realest looking things I'd seen in Star Wars in quite a while. That thing looked, I want to see a behind the scenes on it to see how they made it.
Right.
Because when they got up close, the eyes and the mouth and the teeth and everything, that looked like a real creature.
And it could have been, because what did they do in the original one? They just threw like a rug over an elephant.
Yeah, rug
right?
over an elephant. You can see
basically, basically. And so they could have used a real animal, but yeah, no, they're like everything on it. Like, and Yoda. Yoda flips back and forth from a practical Yoda to a CGI Yoda. And they flip them back and forth, and so you can't even tell when it's a baby, when it's a mechanical, or when it's the CGI. It's just the technology on this show is phenomenal.
Well, I want to get to the part that really freaked me out a little bit, which was the part that really stuck out to me because it just creeped me out. Let's talk about the damn spiders. We all have seen them in Rebels.
Yeah.
It felt like, again, Star Wars is testing the boundaries. That felt like a horror movie scene in a Star Wars show. When those spiders are chasing him, I was picking my feet up off the ground. I was getting the creepy crawlies. I don't like spiders, but then that whole stress of them being chased down by those things, just, you know, again, watching them on Rebels, they look different. It's a cartoon, you know, you can see, but man, they did such a great job with that. And it really blew me away and it was scary.
Oh,
go ahead.
Do you think that Yoda sensed the evil in the spiders? That's why he went and ate the spider to start the whole thing.
It's just a bigger egg.
So I guess I saw him walking over there. He's going to eat one of those and they're going to be eggs of something and it's going to creep me out. And it did. So I, like, as I saw it, as he was walking, they had to have him walk through a field of about 200 before he got to the one that he wanted, just to make it even more creepy. But yeah, I was kind of done on the episode when the spiders came out. Not gonna lie.
I really liked it, but at the same time, it creeped me out completely. So,
yeah. Alfie, I'm not even afraid of spiders. Like, just, yeah, I'm good on this.
I just really liked the whole alien vibe that it had going on with the way the eggs opened up and the spiders crawled out. I thought it was pretty sweet. I liked it.
Brent, I think you mentioned it on one of our recent shows was this is Mandalorian has done such a great job of making it to where you don't have to battle the full Empire or the full First Order or whatever. There's creatures in all these episodes that he can go battle and you can have somebody for him to go against or freak you out like it did with me. But it's really great that they're not having to make the evil all big baddie all the time. There can be a lot of different things that fit that role. And these spiders definitely fit that role with me. So did I lose you or am I good? You guys got me? Thumbs up? Yes. Okay. Okay. after that, something really stood out to me. And you guys, I don't know if either one of you go to church that much, but I go to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, we say, peace be with you and also with you. And at the end of the show, when he was talking to the two X-Wing pilots who saved him, they said, may the force be with you. And he said, and also with you. And right then and there, I felt like I was in the Catholic Church.
Right. But so before that, it was, may the force be with you. So when they first flew up on him, he said, may the force be with you to them. And they said, also with you, back to Mando. Did you catch that first one?
I didn't. I'll have to go back and watch that.
It's almost like you can't see his face, but he's like, what the hell do I say to these guys? What the hell do I say to these guys? How are you guys doing? May the force be with you. And one, I think it was Filoni or whatever, Trapper Wolf, said, and also with you. And then they went into the questioning of who he was and why he didn't have his beacon on. Alfie, did you catch that also?
Yeah, he said right. That the first time. It made me feel like they were going to let him go, and then they kind of pulled back and said, oh, hey, one more thing before we go.
I will have to go back and watch that. I missed it the first time because it really stood out to me the second time, and it did. I stopped and I was like, holy cow, I feel like I'm in church right now with that statement. So,
And I'll be honest, I didn't catch the second one. So when you're saying that it happened the second time, so it's almost like they called back to the same situation. So like he said, as they were leaving, they said, may the force be with you. And he was saying it to them as like, yeah, and also with you, kind of the way that they said it. So it's almost like there was that mirror situation.
Nope. I agree. So, you know, not a huge overbearing arc in this storyline, but lots of little things. And I think Alfie, you showed us already, Mom and Dad Frog and their babies are going to be in the next episode at the beginning, at least. Any other thoughts from this episode that really stood out to you or made you look forward to next week?
So this is one thing that a coworker was talking to me about. And it was one of those things that I kind of agree with too. The Mandalorian doesn't necessarily always have a continuous timeline. So it almost seems like this episode was completely disconnected in a way from the previous episode. I know it started right when it ended, but there was this feeling of like, where's the whole story going? And it doesn't feel like, to him, he didn't feel like he saw where it was going. And I feel like from season one, there were a few episodes where it's like, okay, so where did that one fit in and how did that one fit in? So I feel like this one kind of had that same kind of discontinuous, I think so. And so I'm parroting what he said because it made sense to me that there was some discontinuity in the timeline. Okay. Even though it did start right over.
Go ahead, Alfie.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been hearing. The biggest complaint is that, one, it didn't move the story, you know, far enough along, and that it just didn't really seem that nothing happened in this episode, which I completely disagree with. I go back to the episode 4 in the first season when they're on the shrimp farm planet. At that time, that episode didn't seem like it really did much until you get to the end, and then he goes back for Cara Dune, and now that episode is 100 times more important than it was the first time you saw it.
Right, and so my coworker mentioned that same kind of thing, and he's like, well, maybe it'll make more sense in the end because they've done that in the past. So he was referencing that, and it does make sense, but like at the moment when you're watching it, yeah, it's okay, but like, and how did it really fit in?
Right, because we still haven't seen them off this season yet. You know, where's Sabine? Where's Ahsoka? Where's Captain Rex? Where's all this stuff at? I mean, I had the same conversation this morning with a coworker, and I said, this is only the second episode of the second season of the show. Do you just want it to be over already? I mean, we'll get there eventually, but at some point, you have to kind of have an episode where you catch your breath and reset before that big arc.
We're a now type of society. We want, like, everything we've heard, we want to hear it and see it now.
You are correct. No, I agree.
One thing I really liked about this episode at the end, you know, when they're discussing him being wanted for breaking the guy out, but then the bounties and all that stuff. And he says, well, can we just forget all that? And you just help me fix your ship. And then they just leave. You know, did they really expect him to be able to get out of there on his own? Or
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. Maybe they felt like they'd helped him enough already. I don't know. So, but yeah, I did like that interaction back there. It was kind of cool. It's like, hey, we just saved your butt. You got to figure out your own way to get out of here. You know, we did our good deed in return for what you did previously. So now we're even. Go ahead, Brent.
And I also think that like, that was one of my least favorite because that was one that I didn't see how it connected to the storyline, the episode from season one. So I think it's like 5 or 6 where they're on the prison ship. Yeah. That was one of those that was like, if I was to rank them, was not one of my higher ranked shows because I didn't necessarily know where it fit in. It was cool, but it wasn't really like one of those that made sense. And now they're tying it into episode 2 of season 2.
Yeah.
So it's like, so they brought back, like, again, just like we were saying, like, it seems discontinuous, but they found a way to weave those stories back in so it makes it more connected.
Nope. Agree 100%. Hey, we said it. We'll get the shirts going soon. And Filoni, we trust because I just trust he's putting the right steps in place to make it to where we know what's going on. And he'll give us the filler that we need to make it complete. Hell, we might be talking about Frog Lady in season 4. I don't even know. So, but guys,
might come back to this planet.
That's again. Right. And he'll know about the spiders. Maybe he'll trap somebody with the spiders that he knows about.
And so the entire first trailer that we spent 2 hours breaking down, we've seen 85% of it already.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So that's a good thing. That means that for the next 6 episodes, most of these things are going to be, except for the boat coming up, but except for that, most of this other stuff is going to be new. So that's great. That's what you want. You want them to entice you in, to bring you in a little bit at a time. So guys, any closing thoughts on chapter 10 of The Mandalorian, The Passenger? No?
More Boba. For some reason, I thought Boba was going to be in there and give him like a, I thought it was going to be Boba giving him this like job to go do something for him and come back. And I thought he would keep coming back to Boba. I want Boba. Like, you gave me like 5 seconds of Boba. I want more Boba.
Okay.
Come on, man. You can't build the Avengers that fast. There's going to have to be some time.
I know, but I figured they would tie him in somehow into this episode, but they totally just didn't.
Hey, oh, well.
You never know. He may never come back.
That's right.
That's true.
It might have been his only spot just to get ready for his own show coming up on Disney Plus. Go ahead, Brent.
Just to get the extra, just to get the next, the one they're talking about, the extra Boba Fett show.
Right. The new series. So, hey guys, it's been great. It's been grand. I don't want to keep you all night. You guys have been killing it. We've hit a lot of topics. So, I can't thank you both enough for being a part tonight. We'll have some of the other crew on next week when they've got some free time. But as always, to you two and to the listeners out there, thank you so very much. It means the world to us that you're giving us a listen. And Brent said it to me before we got on the air. It's hard to believe that there's people out there who just want to listen to some goofballs talk about Star Wars. And we appreciate it. And we're just kind of open, honest people, and we love this and we love to have fun. So thanks for that. But chapter 31 of Rule the Galaxy Closing Shop. Follow us again at Rule the Galaxy SW on Twitter. Email us at rulethegalaxysw@gmail.com. And until next week, where we'll probably have some surprise side episodes again, maybe that Lothal Library. Until next week, may the Force be with you.